I'll just say this. The title of my message is Diverse Belief. Amen. And I'm just going to go ahead and get into it. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you this morning, my God, for allowing me, my God, to share, Father God, what you have given me first. I thank you, my God, for your word. I thank you for your anointing. I thank you for your presence. I pray that you use me solely as a mouthpiece, my God. Father God, that I be just a speaker, my God. My God, that I just be the microphone that you speak into. I pray for your presence, that you open our minds and our hearts for your word this morning. And to help, my God, our unbelief. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, as I was sitting there, you know, Pastor was talking about unbelief. I was like, look, as a preacher, you have so many messages. And I speak for myself. I'm going to be transparent here. I just didn't know what to speak on today. I just like, Lord, I have this one and I have, right, Pastor, you know, yeah, we have a library of messages, right? No, I'm just kidding. It's not a library. But I just did not know, like, Lord, why are you having me preach on this today? Why are you having me speak on this today? And God confirmed it this morning. He did. He, you know, for a long time, and Pastor knows, and some of you guys know, I doubted what God wanted to do in my life. I did. I didn't want to move. Pastor knows, right? And even before we started coming here, you know, many ministers is jump and move and walk and step out. And I was like, no, God hasn't told me nothing yet, right? God's telling you now, you know what I mean? But for a long time, I just didn't believe that what he had for me, I was going to be capable of. Amen. I had that unbelief. Amen. See, and we have to realize that me, myself, that as we become, not become Christians, but in our Christian walk, we are no longer faith seekers. We become sign seekers. Amen. We become sign seekers. Our intention is never to become sign seekers, but we become sign seekers. Right? Lord, if this is you, Lord. Right? Amen. Give me a sign, Lord. Let three doves, not four, not two, not three and a half, three. And they have to be about 5 inches long, right? Right? We start giving God all these like standards. Like if it's you, you know, I'm going to pour water and it just has to light fire. Right? Right? We become sign seekers. Amen? But God is such a God that he is going to get his glory, not your way. Not your way, not my way, not our way, not their way, his way. Because God wants to make sure that no science, no word, no money, no finances has this miracle come about. He makes sure that he gets his glory. Not our intellect, not our ability. God has a way of showing us, like, watch me do this. Yes, yes, he does. Amen. Are we still here this morning?
Yes.
Let's open up our Bibles, amen. To John chapter 4. And I'm gonna, this is my scripture, is my base scripture, is a healing of the nobleman's son. Now, in other translations, he's also called the royal official. Amen. But I'm gonna read along, in John chapter 4, and I'm gonna start reading in verse 46. And I'm gonna read from the Amplified version. Father, we thank you for your word, my God. John 4, chapter 4, verse 46 to the end, which is 54. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine, and there was a certain royal official whose son was sick in Capernaum. Having heard that Jesus had come back from Judea to Galilee, he went to meet him and began asking him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Verse 48, then Jesus said to him, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The royal official pleaded with him, sir, do come down at once before my child dies. Jesus said to him, go, your son lives. The man believed what Jesus said to him and started home. As he was already going down the road, his servants met him and reported that his son was living and was healthy. So he asked them at what time he began to get better. They said, yesterday during the seventh hour, the fever left him. Then the father realized that it was that very hour when Jesus had said to him, your son lives. And he and his entire household believed and confidently trusted in him as Savior. This is the second sign of testing miracle that Jesus performed in Cana after he had come from Judea to Galilee, revealing that he was the Messiah. Now, how many have read this portion of scripture before? Amen. And I think the evidence is there. But I think that the true message is in the details. As I was studying this and God gave me this, and for some reason God led me to just stick to this. I believe that God needs to move sometimes in our unbelief. Amen. Amen. We shouldn't doubt, right? We should not doubt, because we should be able to trust God as God. But let's just be honest. Do you really think God doesn't know we're going to doubt? God knows. But what I love about God, he has a 100% track record of success of working with doubters and people that just did not see themselves do what he told them to do. Amen. Gideon, David, Moses. The instruction was given, and they were like, me? Me. What did they all do? They took off. Amen. They ran. And it's not the fear. I believe it's not the fear. I think that they were driven because they just felt inadequate. They're like, this is too good. There's no way. The unbelief. The problem with belief is that it makes you who you are. And it's not that it's a problem. It's not a problem. But sometimes when you say you are something, you have to believe it first. Amen? Right? You have to believe it. It's like I heard this pastor one time tell me, if you say you can't, you're right. If you say you can, you're right. Right? Because either way, you're right. It's in what you think. It's in what you believe. Amen? So, in this portion of scripture, you know, I just saw three things in the nobleman, in the royal official. I saw three things that really, like, man, Lord, like, it really hit me. It really hit me because of my experience with the Lord. Amen. Number one, we have to notice that there are some things that just require faith. Right? There's no money in the world. There is no intellectual ability. There is no physical ability. Some things are just going to require God. When God says, do you trust me? Yeah, Lord, but you know this. Do you trust me? Do you believe in me enough? Am I big enough? Like that song. Man, that was an awesome song.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
You're bigger. You're bigger. Is he big enough? Amen? See, you got to remember that this man was a nobleman. He was a royal official. And what I said earlier, that it's in the details, this man, he had the hookup with the king. I'm sure the best doctors in the kingdom came and saw his son. Rabbis probably came and saw his son. Because it was custom when somebody was sick that the rabbis would go and they would pray. Sometimes they would get the healing, sometimes they wouldn't. God is God. Amen? But this man was a nobleman. He knew he had already tried everything. He had already tried it all. He said, you couldn't do it. You couldn't do it. You couldn't do it. And my son is still sick. Now I hear of this man that is coming from Judea. Now we got to remember, Judea was a country. It's like the United States, and so was Galilee. It's like a region. They're not like down the street. Amen? Jesus would go to the Passover, which was in Jerusalem in Judea. He was coming back, and that's where we meet that portion of scripture where he stopped in Sychar, where he spoke with the Samaritan woman in Samaria, because he had to go through Samaria. If we look at a map, man, I wish I had a map right here. But if we look at a map, he went to Samaria to get up to Galilee, or to Galilee, right? To Galilee. Up there was Capernaum and Cana. So Jesus was on his journey back, right? So I can imagine, you know, there was no Twitter back then. There was no Facebook. There was no, hey, Jesus is coming to Capernaum, or Jesus is coming to Cana. No, they didn't know. Word got around old school. Hey, did you hear? Did you hear? Did you hear? Amen. Now stick with me. I'm going somewhere with this. Did you hear? He's coming. And we got to remember also, we got to, in the details, is that Cana from Capernaum, where the sun was in Capernaum, Jesus was in Cana. The nobleman, the royal official, didn't send his servant to call him. Right? He didn't say, hey, go send word, like an official was accustomed doing. Go send word to Jesus and tell him to come here to heal my son. He said, nope, I'm doing it myself. I'm doing it myself. You have not done it. You have not done it. You have not done it. And my son is still sick. Now I hear of this man, I'm going to go plead with him myself. Amen. Cana from Capernaum was 20 miles, 16 to 20 miles roughly, depending. Right? He went himself. There's just some things that you're just going to have to do yourself. Amen. Sometimes we want a tag team match and God is like, nope. This is a one-on-one, buddy. Yeah. Pastor, help me, tag me in. No, no, nah. This is your faith. Amen. Not to say that we're not here, right? Not to say that pastor's not there. But sometimes it's just going to require your faith. Oh, man, when God hit me like that over the head, I was like, huh, all right. Okay. I mean, what could you do, argue with God? Right? Well, I mean, he's sovereign. Actually, me and a brother were talking about this morning. He's so sovereign that what could we really do? He's God. Amen? Some things are just going to require faith. Amen? Perseverance made him go because he heard. Because he heard. Amen? Second thing is, we have to also remove what we know. This was a nobleman. A royal official. He ain't used to begging. You don't beg. Amen. Right? What did the world teach us? Beg nobody, trust nobody. Right? I love Scarface. Have y'all seen that movie, Scarface? That's my movie, man. Okay, there's no holiness in it, but man, that's my movie, man. Right? Hey, I don't beg nobody. Am I talking to my people this morning? Amen. Right? Trust no one. I trust nobody. Right? I'm telling y'all, man. God had to break me from what I knew. from what I know, this man, he was a nobleman. What he was accustomed to, he had to break it. He had to remove it. He had to take that coat off of who he was to say, I have nothing else. I have nothing else. Like in Matthew, like the scripture. And I was actually going to use that scripture earlier, but I'm not going to use it now. But he said, what? Help my unbelief. And what did Jesus tell the disciples? He said, prayer and fasting. Oh man, how much more can you sacrifice your flesh? You don't think God knew, like, let me see. How do I really want them to show me they want their miracle? How much more can God really, how can we sacrifice our flesh except through fasting? Prayer, hey, where we, sometimes that becomes ritualistic and traditional, man. You gotta pray. Well, you gotta get in there and say, Lord, man, I'm done. I can't no more. Amen. Who's been there before? Amen. Like, man, I try this, it don't work. I try this, it don't work. I try this, it don't work. It's just, I'm done, Lord. Man, you keep saying it, but I don't see it. Because we're too busy seeing. We need to hear it. Amen. Sometimes we just have to remove what we know. Position doesn't matter. He was a nobleman. And a lot of times we think that because of a position, God hears us even more, and it doesn't matter. Man, position, look. Position doesn't matter because the reward is still the same. I could be preaching to masses, and you can preach to one person, and guess what? You're still going to be with me up there. Position don't matter to God. Do you want it or not? Amen. Position. Look. Let a salesman at your job, let a salesman do his work with a trash can being full. Can't. The salesman cannot perform the job. The president of the company cannot perform the job unless the janitor is doing what they should be doing. But sometimes our humanistic minds, we put that in levels. Nothing that we do is insignificant. Nothing that we do. Nothing that we do is insignificant. Position does not matter. This man was a nobleman, and now he was here in front of Jesus begging for his son to live. He had to take off what he knew. Amen? Now, here is where I want to park just for a little bit. In scripture 48. On 48 he says, and Jesus said to him, unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, you simply will not believe. Man, I'm a nobleman. Who is this peasant man talking to me like that? It's in the details. You got to remember the mentality of a royal official or a nobleman back then. All the best rabbis that I know have come and seen my son. Who are you to talk to me that way? He could have done that, right? What did he say? He said, please come with me before my son dies. Because when you're desperate for a miracle, your position matters no more. Where you been and what you did, man, I don't know if you have ever taken anybody to the hospital. We've made a couple of emergency visits in our life. You don't care about no speed limits. Right? Obey the laws of the land. Man, I don't care. I'm going. Something's wrong with my son. Something's wrong with my daughter. Something's wrong with my wife. I'm going. I don't care about no speed limit. Look, can you just pull me over when I get to the hospital, please? Right? Just certain things don't matter when you're desperate. You don't care about filling out no paperwork when you get to the emergency room. Right? Well, sir, before we see your dying son, can you go ahead and fill out, make sure we got insurance? Oh man, I forgot my insurance card. All right, we'll be back tomorrow. No, that don't happen. I don't care. I'll bring it tomorrow, man. Just do something. You don't care. Amen. You don't care. And this is what we need to think, that it was we need to see that it was in the details. This was a royal official. And Jesus told him, you people, I think it's in the NIV version. I'm not sure, but I'll find it. It says, you need to be dazzled with a miracle for you to believe. Right? Dazzled. Right? We need to see something. Is God speaking this morning? Because I know he hit me up before I even brought it. See, Jesus had already grouped him. Look, before that, when Jesus was in Samaria, remember I said he had to go through Samaria. He met the woman at the well. The woman went and said, look, let's go see this man. He told me everything that I've done. Right? You know what? Let's go there. So y'all won't say, well, Pastor, I don't know about Pastor Benny. He's, I don't know what he's saying up there. In chapter 3, let's go to, let me see if I can find it. No, actually, I'm sorry, chapter 4. It's on the same chapter. So after he evangelized, let's just say that, to the woman at the well, we'll go to verse 39. Now many Samaritans from that city believed in him and trusted him as Savior because of what the woman said when she testified. He told me all the things that I have done. So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they asked him to remain with them, and he stayed there for 2 days. Many more believed in him with deep abiding trust because of his word. You can't see a word. His personal message to them, and they told the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. For now we have heard him for ourselves and know with confident assurance that this one is truly the Savior of all the world. We no longer believe because of what you said, because of what we've heard. What we've heard. Now, when we go back to the nobleman's son, he says, unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, see, you won't believe. Amen. You see the difference there? Here we have one group, the Galileans, which they had Jesus. Man, Jesus was one of them. But they needed to see signs to believe him. But the Samaritans that did not know who he was believed because of what they heard. Amen? Still with me? Samaritans believed when they heard. Galileans believed when they saw. Last point. Believe until the answer is clear. That's the hardest part right there. Believe until the answer is clear. When the Bible says that when he left, again, like I said, there was no Facebook, there was no Twitter, there was no cell phones. There was no way for his servants to let their master know his son was healed. So for all he was concerned was, my son is still sick. Even after Jesus spoke, right? I believe. Now this is me saying it. I'm not saying it's biblical. I believe. See, Cana was only 18 miles, 20, let's just say 18, because it's anywhere from 16 to 20, depending on your route. But let's just say 18 miles, right? 18 miles at that time was nothing. They were used to walking, especially a nobleman had, I don't know, a camel or a donkey or whatever, a horse, whatever, right? That if we walk 2 miles an hour, that's what, 6 hours, maybe 8 hours, maybe 10 hours, let's just say, to walk. Amen? He could have walked as soon as he heard, right? Because the Bible says that when Jesus said he lives, right? It says that he left. However, when his servants met him, he said, yesterday the fever broke. Yesterday. Right? Yesterday. Your miracle happened yesterday. Amen. What happens is we get stuck waiting. That extra day. Why would he stay? And there's no report of why or how come. And I searched and I looked and there's no reason why. There's nothing that showed why he stayed. There's nothing showing why he stayed. His son was dying. When Jesus said, your son lives, why would he not take off? Amen? You see how I'm saying it's in the details? Why would he not leave? Why would he still stay there and say, okay, well, I'll take off in the morning? And then as he starts walking, his servants meet him and they say, hey, this fever broke yesterday. Amen? Does it open it up a little bit? Why didn't you leave? You could have made that walk in 6 hours. That was nothing. And if you had a donkey or a camel, man. Amen? You could have made that walk that day. How desperate was he? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he wasn't desperate. But I like to put myself in his shoes and say, why would I not have taken off? Was he still trying, like, man, maybe he'll give me something more profound. Right? Maybe he'll give me something more deeper. Maybe he will say, and the heavens will open and the three doves will fall out and you know, maybe he'll give me something more. Maybe, you know, something a little, something that's tangible for me to understand. Maybe he'll give me something then that will let me go ahead and go. See, the Bible says that he believed and we're under that impression that he believed and he went. But he stayed. Why? Why? I believe in his mind there was so many shifts, right? It's like a transmission. Like, what happens if you stay on second gear forever? And you're just like waiting. Like, are you going to shift or not? And in his mind, there was a shift that had to happen. That made him leave. This is a nobleman, a royal official. He understood contracts. He understood evidence. He understood, scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. That's his mentality. He was a royal official. But with God, nah. With God, there is no proof sometimes. Amen. There is no proof sometimes. He said, go, your son live. Now, he was a Galilean, which means that he was also part of the group that said, I need to see it first. I need to see it first. I need to see it. I need to see it. Can you imagine when Jesus says, go, your son lives? He's probably like, well, what? How do I know? Right? How do I know, Jesus? How do I know that my son is healed? He's 20 miles away. How do I know? Brings him back to the same question. Do you need to see something for you to believe? Amen? Is God's... Man. Do you need to see something for you to believe my word? Man, I'm telling you, when God hit me, man, I was like, I'm sorry, Lord. God says, what did I say? I have a brother that I constantly tell him, well, this, what did God say? And here I am preaching to myself. Lord, what did I say? I love that God talks to me that way. Sometimes God has to just like, yeah. ¿Qué más quieres? What else do you want? I have a friend that used to, ¿Quieres más o te guiso un huevo? Yeah. You want more or do you want me to just fry you an egg? Amen? there was no proof. This man knew proof. He knew, look, I need to see it. I know what it is, contracts. I know business. I know this. I need to see it. And God said, nah. Jesus said, nah. Go, your son lives. What are you going to do? This is not scriptural, but I just believe this is Jesus in the undertones of his voice. It was like, nah. Go, your son lives. He's like, well, I don't know. They haven't hit me up on my Facebook yet, so I don't. How do I know? Amen. I bet that was the longest walk ever. When he left Cana and he was on his way back, I bet his mind was just like, shouldn't there have been something more? This man, he healed. I mean, remember, when he was in Cana before, in his first visit, he turned the water into wine. Physical. They saw it. They saw it. And now here he is. I mean, he did many more miracles in Cana. But now here he is. Where's the proof? How do I know? Amen. How do I know, Lord? How do I know that what you're saying is true? Has he ever failed yet? That brings more illumination into the scripture where Jesus, the demonic son, and Jesus says, can I? What did he say? He said, if you can, help us, right? If we go back to that scripture, he says, if you can, help us. Jesus says, can I? Right? Look, you know what? Let's go there. Let's go there. So y'all won't see that that Pastor Benny's crazy. In Matthew, I believe in 23, maybe? Mark 9. We there? Mark 9:14. It says, when they came back, well, let's jump to 18. And whenever it seizes him intending to do harm, it throws him down and he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes stiff. I told your disciples to drive it out and they could not do it. This is him telling Jesus. And Jesus replied, O unbelieving faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me. They brought the boy to him. When the demonic spirit saw him, immediately it threw the boy into a convulsion and falling to the ground, he began rolling around and foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? He answered, since childhood, the demon has often thrown him both into fire and water intending to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And he said to him, you say to me, if I can? Amen. All things are possible for those who believe. If I can. I remember God telling me, Lord, if you can. God was like, if I can, do you trust me enough? I'm telling you, God rebukes me too, man. I love it. I gotta love it. If I can. And what did he say? Help my unbelief then. Right? And so many people are like, oh, he doubted Jesus. Amen. I can't believe that man doubted Jesus. He didn't know it was Jesus. We know now that it's Jesus, but he didn't know at that time it was Jesus. He said, then help my unbelief. Now, I'm not saying it's okay to doubt. But because we doubt, it's understandable because it's not tangible to us. We can't see it. All we could do is just hear it and move. Amen. That had to have been the longest walk ever. The longest walk ever. No proof of your miracle? Nothing showing you that God did what he said he was going to do? Nothing? But I want us to notice one thing. It's not until he walked that his miracle met him halfway. It's not till he took off. It's not till he truly believed and didn't go back to Jesus and say, okay, what about now? No, he's not saying nothing. No, he's still not. God, I already said it. Go. I already said it. Go. But sometimes we get stuck in that extra day waiting, asking again, wondering, what if, what if? It's not till he walked that his miracle met him halfway. And you know what's more crazy? That the miracle had already happened when Jesus said it. He just didn't know. Your miracle is already there. He already said it. I got stuck in the day, wondering, is it? Are you sure, Lord? How come? And what if? And wasn't there something? And isn't supposed to? And God is like, man, come on, man. Are we being real this morning? I believe to a lot of us, your miracle is already there. The evidence is already there when he said it. Don't get stuck in that day. Amen? Sometimes a miracle is already done. We just haven't caught up with it yet. Let's stand, amen. I love that God gets his glory regardless. I love the way he makes it happen and we don't have to understand it. That should make us like, you know what? He's done it for me before. And I'm just, why even try to hold on to anything? Man, why even try to help God? Oh, come on. Don't look at me like, huh? Help God. No, come on. Come on. We've tried, right? Let me try to ease my pain a little more. It's like, God, no matter what you try, it's still there. Because God is still knocking on that door. Lord, help my unbelief. We have two different types of people here. We have the Samaritans that believed what they heard and trusted. And then we have the Galileans that needed to see and be dazzled with miracles, dazzled with wonders, and then they believed. There's other scriptures that I have, but for the sake of time, it's God is a good God. God is a good God, man. And I repented when I got stuck in that one day of travel. I was like, man, Lord, you sure? Y'all have heard him, right? Pastor Marty, when he speaks over, well, not him, but when God uses him to speak into mine and my wife's life, it's like, we're going to do great things. And I'm like, yeah. Right? Come on. Amen. It's like a happy thing, but it's like, oh, are you sure? Lord, can you turn this tree on fire and speak to me here? Right? No. God is like, do you need to see things? Do you need to see the angels flying around for you to believe that what I'm telling you is true? Do you love my power or do you love me? We become sign seekers instead of faith seekers. This morning, I know what it is to be there. To want to wait, to see, to wonder. I know what it is. I know what it is to get stuck in that loophole. Lord, is my miracle coming? Yes, you said it, but man, I didn't see nothing. There's no proof. There's nothing telling me. There's nothing guaranteeing me. Did you really say they were going to get saved? Did you really say that I was going to get my healing? Did you really say? I know what it is to doubt. I know what it is to still be there. But now I understand that sometimes things are just going to require faith. You got to remove what you know. Remove it. Remove what you're used to. Do you want your miracle? And it doesn't have to necessarily be a miracle. What have you been asking God for? And what has He already told you, but you're still waiting? You haven't left yet. This morning, if you find yourself there, I know what it is. I know what it is. What are they going to say? I'm a pastor now. You know, everybody's saying, oh, God bless you. You're highly in favor. And I'm here like, what is this? Where is this coming from? Lord, man, if it wasn't for you, Lord, I wouldn't even know where I'd be. I'm not that intellectual. I know what it is. I know what it is to doubt. I know what it is to not understand. I know what it is to wait. I know what it is to want to be sure. Come up. If that's you, come up. Man, I just feel the presence of the Lord right now. He wants to help your unbelief. He wants to. But are we with, he can want to help all you want, but are you still going to stay? Are we still going to stay as sight seekers? Sight seekers, you need to see it. Or are we just going to believe in His word? I'm not preaching something that I read. I'm not preaching something I read. I know what it is to doubt. Ave Maria Purisima, Pastor Ben, you doubted God? Yeah. I know Pastor Marty has. Brother Lionel, I know you have. This morning, if you need help, not from me, not from Pastor Marty, but Lord, help, man. Help me. Come up. I want you to come up. Father, in the name of Jesus, my God, help us, Father. With your presence, Father God. Help us to not be people, my God, that we need to be dazzled, my God. Help us to love you and not your power. Let your presence, my God, to begin to fill our hearts, my God, that assurance that you said what you said. To believe, Father. The diverse belief. To help us to understand, my God, that you are in control. We cannot contain you, Father God. As I was preparing, I ran across a couple of quotes, and I kind of want to share them with you because they're pretty deep. Christopher Columbus said this: "You can never cross the ocean until you have the courage to lose sight of the shore." You can never cross the ocean until you lose sight of the shore. Because as long as the shore is there, there's assurance. Martin Luther King Jr. said this: "Faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase."
call.
Amen. Have you ever walked upstairs in the dark? Nah, you got to see something first, right? It's like the stairs moved. Right? Max Lucado said this, our belief in God is not blind faith. Belief is having a firm conviction something is true, not hoping it's true. Father, this morning, we know what you said, my God. We know what you said. Forgive us, my God, for our doubt. Forgive us for our unbelief, my God. But at the same time, my God, help our unbelief. We don't understand, my God, and sometimes we get stuck trying to understand it. But I pray, Father, that you help us, my God, to realign our sight and our vision back on you and your word and what you say and not what you do. Help us, my God, to be a people, Father God, that are help us to be people that are going to trust you, my God. Help us to not blame others for where we're at. Help us not to get stuck in that rut where we're just spinning our wheels and believing and believing and waiting for a miracle when our miracle has already happened, my God. Your call has already happened, my God. Your steps, my God, for us have already been ordered, my God. We know what you said. I know what you said. But Father God, every person that's in here, my God, and every person, my God, that has come to your throne, Father God, I pray that you help us in our belief. Help us in our unbelief. That we don't try to sit and understand it. We don't try to sit and analyze it. And Father, that we don't try to sit there and help you, my God. That we're just able to walk, my God, in your word. Walk in the faith, my God, that you have entrusted us with, my God. The word, my God, that you have spoken into our hearts and into our minds. That we understand, Father, that it's not, my God, by miracle, but Father, it's of a good, loving Father that we have. Help us to be a people, my God, that we don't fall in love with your signs and wonders, my God, but that we fall in love with you, because those signs and wonders will follow his children. Oh, Father, we thank you for your presence this morning.